All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire mini podcast football preview edition. We are starting to roll more of these out, going over non-conference foes within the league. As always, check us out, mwr.com. We have a ton of stuff this week, because this is a current show, not one I recorded weeks ago with Matt doing the team previews. This week, we're talking Florida, since we're taking on Colorado State early in the year. We'll have some... Just check the website. Media Day stuff going on this week. Our all-conference selection, order of finish, and teams. And we decided to go an in-house route because we have an expert. Is it okay if I call you, Brandon Blake, a Florida expert?
You come Florida alum, Florida fan. I wouldn't call myself experts. There's a lot of other people like on the ground.
Knowledgeable?
In Gainesville and elsewhere. Or, yeah, knowledgeable.
Yeah, that's what we want. So Brandon typically does Nevada stuff for us, does a very good job talking about the Wolfpack, and this year's going to be – I'm more high on other people than the Wolfpack because they might score 60 points a game but give up 65 a game. That's realistic.
I think the – and I'm pretty – I'm not high. I'm not down on them. Well, I'll put it to you like that. I'm not down on them by any stretch. I think they could be bowl eligible.
Yeah.
Depending on where they go. In terms of defense, they're going to be – well, how they improve in defense will dictate where they'll go in 2018.
I agree. Yeah.
I think the offense will be one of the best in the conference, but defense –
Careful, you'll get hate mail. I got hate mail for saying that.
They'll be okay.
Good. Just making sure you're okay out there. I know you're far away from Reno, so it's okay. But I'm just letting you know. Twitter people can come in anywhere to find you.
Well, Twitter people will come at you if you think, you know, a hot dog isn't a sandwich. So I'm perfectly fine. Yeah. Bring it on.
Right, we'll get into it. They'll be good, I think. They'll be better than people think, right?
Yeah. They'll be fine. Nevada's offense will be good, people.
That's my point. That's my point. We're watching them, like... Like, we're not going to do all Nevada, but, like, when they play San Diego, Fresno, okay, they might score 21 points, which is pretty good against those teams, but if their defense could do anything at all against those teams, they'll be okay. I wouldn't be shocked if they beat San Diego State or Fresno, one of the two this year. That would not, like, bowl me over that they would upset them because they could score points, and so we'll talk about that later, but let's get to this. Real quick
with that. I see them more of that home schedule that they got, which is just brutal. I see them probably knocking off Colorado State more than likely. You'll need some things to happen for them to knock off San Diego State, especially.
And Fresno, they'll need their defense to have like Malik Green get a pick six or do what Utah State did to BYU last year where Jalen Davis had, what, three interceptions for touchdown, something game-changing that gives your offense 10 yards or a easy score. That's how they're going to beat those teams. So it could be like there was that game 2 years ago. San Diego State when Fresno State won one game. It was 17-3. Yeah, but it was like the most dominant two touchdown victory ever. That was not even close, despite being down just two touchdowns.
San Diego State was very Alabama like in how they beat Fresno that
sleeper hold for 60 minutes.
Yeah, and nobody likes that.
All right, so let's get to the topic at hand today. Oh, if you want to give Brandon a follow on Twitter to hear Orlando Magic takes, Nevada, Florida, whatever, Gators, I should say, not whatever, but Florida Gators, Brandon G. Blake, and other stuff that may not be sports, so who cares, right? We all do that. All right, so the actual topic at hand, like I mentioned, Florida Gators, they take on Colorado State. That game is on the SEC Network, so most people should have that, right? You have it, right? I assume you do out there in Florida, correct?
Oh, yeah, we got it. It's
not Longhorn Network.
Everybody has it. I feel like everybody has it.
Pretty much. It's week three. Again, 4 Eastern out there. And this game is part of the Jim McElwain buyout bowl game that does not feature Jim McElwain.
Yes, I think that should be if they could work that into a catchy title, the Jim McElwain buyout game. Subtitle. McElwain. Sounds McElwain would be just perfect.
That's what you do here. So we're not talking about the game itself, just the Florida Gators itself. The big news, they have a new head coach. Dan Mullen has taken over, came over from Mississippi State. Obviously follow SEC a bit. It's pretty rare, even anywhere, that any head coach would go within the conference, right? Isn't that pretty rare?
there's history of coaches jumping conferences. I think two that come to mind, or one outside of Mullen, what's his name? Tommy Tuberville jumped from Auburn to some. Oh my God, it's common. So Mullen's not the first, probably won't be the last. But yeah, it's commonplace,
Well, he went Ole
better
Miss to Auburn.
opportunities.
That's what it is. Yeah, Ole Miss to Auburn.
Yes, Ole Miss to Auburn. That I knew it was within the West. I just blanked on the Ole Miss part. I just blanked on where he ended up. But yeah, Tuberville jumped from Ole Miss to Auburn,
It's
and
pretty,
Mullen's jumping from the state to Florida.
pretty impressive. Well, he got an upgrade going 6-5 at Ole Miss to going to a bowl game he didn't coach to going to Auburn.
Yeah, can't
There you
beat
go.
that.
So I'm familiar with Dan Mullen a little bit because he was actually the quarterback. No, oh, you think I'd have it
Think it was
down?
OC. I think it
OC,
was
sorry, that's Mike
OC.
Sanford. Sorry, thinking Mike Sanford. Yeah, he was the
Yeah.
OC, University of Utah, Urban Meyer back when 04, Alex Smith, I think Steve Savoy, wide receiver, a bunch of guys out there going to BCS. He's followed Urban Meyer everywhere from Bowling Green, Utah. Nearly took the UNLV head coaching job. I'm probably a good thing he didn't take that. Decided to be the OC over at Florida, yeah, obviously Florida. So he's been around. So he's already been at Florida twice, essentially.
Pretty much.
And
You could
then
safe to say this is a second run.
second round, essentially. So here's the thing, Florida. I've seen your Twitter angst. Dan Mullen could put up points. Can this Florida offense put up points? Is it the goal to? Because they're ranked for most of your, their defense is amazing. They could stop basically anything from coming down the field, but they would win games like. What, 10-0, seven, like low scoring games, like scoring a couple field goals. What's going to be different this year with the offense?
Well, jumping back a little bit, Florida, even going back to when Will Muschamp was the head coach, had a propensity to maybe score 17 points. Anything more than that, that's it. With this offense and this addition, it's gonna be trial by fire. I just don't think there's talent there in the off. On their offense, obviously, especially with the running backs and the receivers. Got an experienced veteran line coming back, Martez Ivey, to name one. But the key, the be all end all, is who's going to be quarterbacking. And now it's Felipe Franks. More likely to get the start by the time the Colorado State game rolls around, barring injury or just bad play. I think if they're going to, it's going to be through the running game. They're gonna establish a running game because that's where most of the talent is. Are they gonna be jumping back and scoring 40 points like they did back in 2008, or even back in the Spurrier days? No, not this year.
Don't count on it.
But I think it'll be gradual. It's gonna be gradual, depending on it'll rise and fall depending on the quarterback play and what Mullen can get out of them.
So, like, what he did at Mississippi State, like, they were garbage essentially for a while. And he, I should know this, but didn't, isn't that where Dak Prescott went to school at Mississippi State?
He did. He did go to
Okay.
Mississippi State.
And I was on the Cowboys, doing pretty good, right?
Oh yeah. He
Just. So
now
there's room there for him to obviously history before Alex Smith, NFL, now Dak Prescott, probably one or two others, but it's a pretty big deal. Like he knows what he's doing. And are you pretty confident it's gonna be Felipe Franks the whole starting week one? Because they got guys like Kyle Trask and Emory Jones. Jones, the freshman, Trask has never played. Is it Franks just from the get go, you think, to maybe be that next pretty good Dan Mullen QB?
I have my doubt. I mean, I have my doubts, obviously, and it's based off of last year. He did throw 9 touchdowns against 8 interceptions. The TD to interception ratio is not god awful, but I mean, he did only throw complete 54% of his passes last year, headlining basically an offense that couldn't find its way out of a wet paper bag most times. I think he'll be the starter of the re I it'll be a good chance that he by the halfway point of the season he'll still be starting. Like I said, barring injury or just hey, this guy just isn't it. He'll definitely be. I feel like he'll. I'm confident to say he'll at least start week three, because they got Charleston Southern after this week one, and then they got Kentucky to kick off league play. Yeah, I think he'll be started going way through.
So, like, what we've seen, what like Mullen can do, like a lot of different places. Like, how can, like, it's going to be time, because there's always like give people time. Was it? Let me ask you this, because it's a. It could be a like chicken or egg thing. Was it because Will Muschamp? Like, he's had offenses before done pretty good. Like, they've been okay. Well, maybe not Texas. Never mind. Let me strike that from the record here. I should know that better than this. But what I'm saying is, it was it more of Muschamp's, like, coaching style? Or is it the talent he had to why he couldn't get things done? Like, to score more points?
I think it was a talent. I think it was just the talent was there.
It should be, right?
Right. I mean, and the thing was, and I've sort of took it a revisionist approach to it with Will Muschamp. Will Muschamp, for all of his faults, especially on the offensive side, he can coach defense and he could recruit.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida was not lacking in terms of it. I have to look at maybe the recruiting rankings, but Florida was pretty much had their share of top level guys. The problem was he just offense was him was offense to Will Muschamp was like how you feel about ham. just no. I want no part of the offense. I want to win games 17-10. I'm gonna let my defense handle the rest. And then we come over to Jim McElwain, who thought he could coach offense, but couldn't. The famous line was he could get his dog Clarabelle the quarterback. Well, he should have. But if he still was the head coach before he got fired, after the Georgia game, he probably would have rolled out Clarabelle, and Clarabelle probably could have been at least a 40% passer, which probably would have put him right there with Felipe Franks. So to answer your question, I think it was just a coaching thing that did Muschamp in. Like, he just refused to do any offense, and McElwain thought he could do offense.
Yeah, so it's like a year. Like, so assuming, like, it's a year, like, years-long thing, because it kind of stumbles. Okay, you have Muschamp, defensive guy, bring an offensive guy, McElwain. He wasn't there very long, and so it's like, do you think it was too quickly to give McElwain the can after what he did?
Well, think about if you remember, with your audience, how they focus a lot on SEC football, what did McElwain in wasn't so much the coaching that would have done him in eventually. But what did him in was
if the shark photo. If,
say again?
The shark photo. That's not him.
Oh, the shark photo. That wouldn't have done him in.
Dogs.
I mean, even if he did, I mean, hey, if you want to hug a shark, that's down to you.
Be careful.
But really what did him in was just the disconnect between him and the Florida athletic department. And just a quick story. I don't know if we're up against it.
McElwain was not hired.
Oh, okay. McElwain was not hired by this current athletic director, Scott Strickland. McElwain was hired by Jeremy Foley, and when Foley retired, McElwain kind of in four way. And again, I do internet search, Google search, the writers who normally write the Florida stuff in Gainesville elsewhere are very good at it. But to sort of paraphrase and parrot, nitpick what they mentioned, what they said was with McElwain, there was the disconnect. He had gone off, popped off at the mouth and saying, you know, I would really do things, you know, if we had an indoor football facility, which is a big thing.
How do they not have one? It's like 100 degrees year round. You're in the swamp. That's reason their humidity. How is that not the case?
That's one of those things that, again, if you're an outsider, or even if you're in Florida, or in any parts of the state, of the southern part of the United States, at least, you would think
it's hot.
Gotta have an indoor arena, indoor facility. Well, yeah. Florida didn't. So McElwain was popping off on that, and they eventually got the indoor facility. But there was just sort of this disconnect where McElwain was doing things that kind of rubbed the athletic department the wrong way. The apex of that was I think it was in between off weeks after they lost like A&M before the Georgia game. He made an announcement that he and his family and his players gotten death threats.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember
which,
that.
Yeah, which the AD, which the athletic department, Scott Strickland, they did their research. They did, you know, they looked into it, and there was no proof of that. And that ultimately did him in. And then also sort of the back and forth as well, you know, just.
It's weird. It's like, why lie about that? You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. I mean, but it's safe to say you don't want, you know, fans.
Don't do it. Yeah, don't do that. But still, it's like, come on.
But to do that, but to just make up something false. And then also, like I said, it was a very icy relationship between Strickland, the AD, and McElwain to the point where Strickland just had to cut bait. The famous line I take from the Strickland press conference after McElwain was let go was, it was more than wins and losses that did him in.
Yep.
I don't know if he would have stayed if Florida went 7-5, 8-4, or 8-3, 7-4, because they canceled the game because of a hurricane, mm-hmm. Or potential of a hurricane. But it was just, there was no going back.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, he did fine. 10 wins to coach of the year, first year, 9 wins to year 2, year 3 struggling. But then again, like, the quarterback issue, a little bit not scoring points. And then because you got to, I get it, the SEC, like, when Florida shows up and they're playing these teams, like, you're going to have a great defense. There's offenses like Alabama, like, I know we'll keep on track here, but they typically don't have great quarterbacks. They just win by defense or running the ball. You don't need a great quarterback to win the SEC. You need a guy who's pretty good. They're different now, Jalen Hurts and maybe Tua there, what depends what they do. But you know how it is out there. It's like, you can have a decent quarterback, but if your defense is amazing, which Florida has, you'll be really good at contend and can win a national title. Like, Tim Tebow special did his thing. He wasn't a great, like, throwing quarterback. He would run the ball a lot. He would know who to get the ball to, pass it well. But he wasn't like, Chris Leak is probably their really good example of a good quarterback they've had who could sling it around. You don't necessarily have to have that to be good. But you got to guess the way it's competent. Go give me 14 touchdowns and 4 picks. You know what I mean? Throw complete 60%. That'll be good enough to probably win the division, beat Georgia this year.
Well, about defense.
But you know what I mean. I know. But, you know, my point is, if you have an okay quarterback, you should be really good with that defense.
Well, again, back to Florida's defense, which has been the calling card this decade for them. But the calling card this decade for Florida football. Last year was, and again, I might be statistically, it wasn't good. The defense eventually bottomed out, because I'm of the belief you can have the greatest defense out there. Alabama can have the greatest defense out there, but if their offense isn't at least functional or competent, then you compromise your defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's eventually what happened with Florida's the defense last year. It was very young. They do return a lot of their players back. Some talent there. Which goes to the next issue that did McElwain in, was talent. And by talent, I mean not recruiting enough talent. I've always was of the belief of the thought of McElwain recruiting at Florida is, why is he recruiting like he's back at Colorado State and he's trying to compete with Boise State? Does he know he's competed against Alabama and Georgia?
I mean, he should know. He was at Georgia. Come on, he's at Georgia a couple years beforehand. It's like, geez, what are you doing?
And Alabama. Yeah. He was at Alabama. He was a coordinator under Saban. A lesson. Don't recruit. Don't coach. Don't bring in Saban acolytes, because it doesn't work. Unless your name is Jimbo Fisher, and even that didn't work out. Eventually. But yeah, the defense really took a step back now. The thing is, okay, most of those players are back. They do return 3 of their the top 5 tacklers. I believe they returned 3 of them. So the defense probably will take another step. Todd Grantham, who to me seems like he's been coaching everywhere,
yes.
Will be back. Will be headlining the 3. They'll be going 3-4 this year. So the idea is maybe that Now, will the defense have to will the defense come back to that like that 2011, 2012 level of good? Probably not, but at least if they could get some of that back, then maybe they can have a chance. The rankings, the preseason stuff came out for the SEC with the media days, and they were projected third, which feels about right. They're not better than Georgia, and they're not definitely not better than Georgia. Kind of rivals me. And they're not better than South Carolina. But third seems about right. If the defense gets right, and if the offense could just take three steps forward, I think the offense will be fine, but if they take that extraordinary leap, then they could do things. I mean, they got Georgia in Jacksonville, and I believe they get South Carolina in Gainesville. So,
Yes,
who
Kirk.
knows?
They get well. Here's the thing. In the division, they get Missouri at home. They get South Carolina at home, Idaho. Whatever. That's cool. Great. Like all the like to contend to Kentucky. They're in Kentucky's in the division as well. So all these division games that are winnable at home. Tennessee has a new first year head coach. That's a winnable game. I still think. You know what I mean? That's right there. And so you get LSU. I'm just saying, with new head coach, you get LSU at home. They don't play Alabama. They don't play Auburn. So I'm just saying schedules.
But they get an LSU team that I think will be very good on defense, will always be good on defense. Now you talk about a team there that just whiffs on potential, LSU right there. But LSU will have a good defense. Mississippi State, I think. If Alabama and Auburn went in that division, I like Mississippi State in terms of what they bring. Nick Fitzgerald, I think, is just a great quarterback that nobody's talking about in that conference. And don't count out Missouri.
I'm gonna say it's at
Defensively,
home, and
a
so
lot to be
they,
desired, but that offense could put up points
look,
and
yeah.
yards.
After going 1-5, they won 5-1 to flip it around. They can score a point. I'm saying you're at a home game, that's beneficial a little bit there. And then, but look at the defense. You're right. I kind of thought they're better, like the yards per play, which is better than like total yards and yards per game. It was like they're worse in like 5 years. They're just not even average. Like five, was it 5.7? Like go and then home road splits are ridiculous. That's why I mentioned that the road was like over a yard difference worse. And just going back the past couple years, like this was their worst year since like 2012. Like they've been under 5 yards per play for what since 2013. Keep going. Like 2013 wasn't great, but like there's been like 2 years out of the past decade where they're under five, like over 5 yards per carry. As far as I can go back to 2008, only twice they've had like over 5 yards per play allowed. And so it was an anomaly last year. They're still at average, but can't. It's I don't know.
And I
It's
think 2013, that year was the year they went 4-8, and that was more of a just injuries and bad luck did them in. Last year was this was just a young defense with not a lot of talent, and going through a coaching change where the coaching staff, well, the interim coaching staff that was there was just like through their hands of like whatever.
Help! All
Well,
right, so let's get to
no,
let's
it was more like a just say, man, we just here.
No kidding. Like we're getting paid, we're showing up, we're trying. So with this game specifically a little bit, like the one thing the Rams, if they're going to win, which I don't think they will, but they have a pretty good, like not pretty good, they have a really good running attack. Like Izzy Matthews, they love Rashard Body, they have Marvin or the McKenzie back there. Is there any chance like this Rams rush defense could put a dent to scare Florida a little bit?
I think they can. I've been very impressed with Colorado State's offense outside of Boise. I think Boise and San Diego State are the two best offenses, one of the two best in the league. But Colorado State, I think their running game, you mentioned Matthews and their receivers. They have the offense, especially if Florida's napping. Because you got to think Florida's going to have two games under their belt. Granted, they're against Charleston Southern and a
Kentucky.
Kentucky team they've beaten every year since like 1986. But they I'm not don't knock the folks out in this region probably will look at Colorado State and be like, oh, whatever. Don't sleep on them. Their offense can do some and put up some points and make Florida sweat a little bit eventually
Well,
then.
because Florida offense probably won't be able, even how bad the Rams defense is, I don't expect Florida to put 50 points. It might be a game where I think the Rams can hang around. Yeah, Rams have a new quarterback, assuming it's Curtis Daniels, because there's no way Colin Hill's going to be ready from the ACL tear. Yeah, they lose Michael Gallup, but they have Obisaya Johnson, the running game I mentioned. But like, it should be great. Yeah, returning kicks, a deep threat. That's what I'm saying. Like, if it might be a game where it's 20-6 or 20-10, but it's not going to be a blow by any means. And if the Rams are going to win it all, it's because Florida offense sputters, even if it gets a bad defense, and the Rams find a couple plays here or there. Because even with Carter KJ, KJ, I think his brother KJ Carter Samuels, he's a new guy. It'll be interesting. But here's the thing. They've already played Hawaii, who will play the run and shoot. Not great, but that's a unique team they're going against. Colorado and Arkansas, the previous weeks prior, going into Florida. This will be game four, and they've already played two bowl teams, I would say, Colorado, Arkansas, and arguably or obviously better talent overall just recruiting-wise. So it's not when they roll into Florida, it's going to be a big shock. They played like some FCS team, then they go Florida or week one. They'll have had three games under their belt to get some decent teams and unique offenses with what Hawaii does. And so I don't think it's going to win, but you're right. It's not going to be, we're going to win 40-10. It might be 30-17 and be pretty close until Florida breaks through or gets some defensive score. I mean, like a short field to get some quick points. I kind of think how that'll play out. It'll be mildly interesting for at least about a half, maybe more.
I'm thinking maybe three quarters.
Okay, three quarters.
Eventually.
There you go.
I just don't, especially if they got the Kentucky game, and Kentucky's been really feisty these last few years.
Tryhards.
Yeah. I think, and people just remind you, think about this. Florida has not lost to Kentucky since 1986. Kentucky is not, and this game this year is in Gainesville. I believe they have Kentucky's not beaten Florida since 1977.
All right, then there you go.
But they're coming pretty close. But
was that when
Steve
Spurrier was quarterback? Was he quarterback the last time they lost to Kentucky?
He was gone. I think he was gone by then. Pre everything.
Seventies. Spurrier,
pre everybody.
I guess he's like 75 now. So yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I think he was still playing in the NFL, or the NFL playing days were done. By then, but back to the Florida-Colorado State game. I think, and you mentioned this earlier, Johnson, their receivers, I think they could give Florida's talented, but still working on the stuff secondary, give them some fits. I'm thinking probably a two-possession game, something to that effect. I just feel like it's going to be a two-possession game.
It'll be a game upset alert on ESPN bottom line throughout the afternoon, right?
Say that again?
It'll be an upset alert at the bottom line throughout Saturday afternoon.
But you mentioned about Colorado State and the teams that they play. They do face a run and shoot offense in Hawaii, even though we kind of think Hawaii's going to be bad. And then they play Colorado. Maybe Colorado was a bowl team last year? I know Arkansas wasn't.
They're close. They're both close. They're on the fringe.
Yeah, they were right there. Arkansas is going to be transitioning over from sort of that ground and pound Brett Bielema offense to more of Chad Morrison.
SMU. So, yeah, it'll be a lot of passing there.
So they're transitioning over offenses. So like Florida, they're going to be sort of in that kind of the part the island of misfit toys in terms of player personnel. So Colorado State will definitely have, and I believe that Colorado State Arkansas game's in Fort Collins, right?
It sure is. Yeah, they don't leave the state. It's the first true road game they have. They play Hawaii at home, Mile High against the Buffs, and then they host the Razorback. So their September, late August is all staying in the state.
And see, how did Colorado State pull that deal off? How did they get Arkansas to come to Arkansas?
I'm not sure.
You got two Fort Collins, excuse me.
Even home, because the Florida return game is going to be at Denver, and whenever that is in a year or two.
Maybe. But then it'll be a hurricane.
We'll see. Let me ask you this real quick, because this is an interesting thing I just thought of, because Florida's probably not going to be ranked to start the season, right? They're going to be outside. Maybe there'll be a couple votes just because of Florida, right?
Put it to you like this. In the state, Miami's going to get ranked. Mm-hmm. Florida Atlantic's definitely going to get ranked. Central Florida will probably be in the top 15. I wouldn't even bat an eye if that school up north in Tallahassee gets ranked.
Ooh, that shouldn't happen. That should not happen. But
yeah, Florida's probably not going to get ranked.
So here's my question asked. This game will be underlooked because here's honestly a possibility. Colorado State, even with new quarterback losing Michael Gallup, they'll beat Hawaii. I don't have this as my official rankings, but I remember talking with Matt when we did our preview of CSU. They can beat Hawaii. They should. No reason they can't beat Colorado, and no reason they can't beat Arkansas at home. Both teams could be undefeated in this matchup. 3-0 versus 2-0. It's early, but I think that's a decent chance that could happen. More likely for Florida than CSU, but they'll give it a little bit extra game if it's 3-0 versus 2-0.
You mean in terms of who will be ranked?
No, I mean just let's ask you, ranked. Like both these teams could be undefeated.
Oh yeah.
That'd more than likely. Add a bit more.
Charleston Southern, but. But then again, I lived through the whole Georgia Southern thing, so you never know.
I'm just saying, it's a good chance.
But yeah, 2-0.
It's a decent chance for Florida, yeah.
More than 50%.
Yeah. CSU, maybe, possibly. That'd be making the game much better. Like, wait, what's this? 2-0, 3-0? If Florida's 2-0, if they beat Kentucky, they'll probably be ranked, even though it may not be deserved because it's beaten Charleston Southern and Kentucky. But
yeah, if they're 2-0, they're not getting ranked. Not with 25 teams plus whoever sort of.
Polls are weird, man. Just saying, polls are weird.
They are, but maybe in terms of if Florida's really impressive against Charleston Southern and they just hammer Kentucky, then yeah, I could see them getting ranked, but
it'd be like winning by 30 points each game or something.
Yeah, like we're talking like beating them by 30 points or like 69-0 or something. Yeah. Which, yeah, no,
we'll see. I just think this game is gonna be one. It's two pretty good, decent teams, but it's always to be upset because CSU, how are they close? Because Alabama wasn't very close last year. They put up, or that's for us now, but a couple years ago they played Alabama really close on the road for at least part of the game. But we'll see. So you're predicting, what, a two-score victory for the Florida Gators? Is that correct?
Two-score victory.
I'm in the same area. How shocked, like 1 to 10, how shocked would you be if Colorado State were to win? Not being mad, not being a – because I know Florida's your team and stuff. I don't want to say zero, terrible. But it's not going to happen. But, like, would you give about a toss-up that Colorado State might be able to win this game? Or no, let me rephrase the question. That incorrectly. So that's two questions in one. Let me be a better host here and ask the right question. Would 1 to 10? How would if Florida were to? What's the chance? Basically, what's the chance you give CSU to win? Let me just go simple and not be fancy.
What chance I give Colorado State?
Yeah, toss up or like?
I'd say 60-40. Like I said, the folks out here probably would look at Colorado State and be like, brush them off. But Colorado State has the offense. Florida is still trying to find theirs. Mm-hmm. Now where the equalizer where things get different is Colorado State's defense is a little bit charitable, whereas maybe Florida can muster up some points. But I give them about a 60-40 chance. I mean, it's not Florida's going to steamroll them. If anybody's paid attention,
dude, they can't steamroll anybody. Come on,
right? I was just about to say, if anybody's paid attention to Florida football these last 8 so years, you know, we're not steamrolling anybody. But I'd give Colorado State a 60-40 shot.
Okay, so how mad would you be if your Florida Gators lost to Colorado State? Well, what's the price item you would throw against the wall if they lose this game, the Gators?
No price items would get thrown.
Good. You're not that type of fan. Just smashes TVs when your team loses. Don't do that. Don't be
I just shrug, sigh, and just like, pray to God, hope Florida State's 0-2.
You'll take the Twitter and I'm like, Gators.
Yeah, I wouldn't even do that. It's just like, expected. It'd be like, sounds about right.
Once again. Okay, I was curious because I'm like that too. Like, I know people, my brother, they get freaked out. Teams lose. I'm like, dude, I know it stinks, but don't let it get a hold of you, right? That's what I tell people. Like,
right.
The biggest I get upset about, because I like the Dallas Cowboys quite a bit, that's like the only thing. I don't even get too mad about that. I'm like, dang it, I'll think back, like, oh, this, this, or this. But I don't get mad. I don't throw crap. I'm like, that sucks, and basically move on in like 20 minutes. Or I may read stuff after. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. That's stuff happens. But right. I'm not those people doing Vine videos, throwing their TVs off the balcony. I'm like, dude, even if it's a cheap flat screen, that's a couple hundred bucks. What are you doing? I don't have that kind of money, right?
And you know what? And no, I definitely don't. I'm with a full disclosure, there was a time where I didn't throw expensive stuff. No, I threw like water bottles and some other stuff.
I'll throw a hat. That's about it.
Right. There's a really famous story about what I did with the team's jacket that I'm really not going to get into.
Okay.
You grow, you sort of sit down, you get angry, but then you sit at the end of the day, it's like, it's just a game, you know? And you could take the approach, and folks could take the approach I did. If your team is really bad, ESPN alert coming up. When you just sort of, if you know your team just isn't that good, like that was my approach with the Florida-Georgia game last year. It's like, okay, we're horrible. Our coach is going to get fired. Georgia's just this machine that somehow got it together. Just whatever. Y'all going to beat us. Have fun. Not every day y'all get to hammer us like this in the last quarter of a century. But just, sure. You know, just shrug your shoulders and keep it moving.
Have some fun. Like, don't be that fan, right? It's like, if your team's not good, it's like I chatted with buddy Jake Kokorowski about Wisconsin, New Mexico. We just chatted about what to do in Wisconsin because we know the Lowboys are going to lose. And so we just kind of, it's like, have something like that. If you have your team that may not be great, not that Florida or CSU aren't going to be good, but Florida had their struggles a little bit in the past years because new coach, but have a reason, like, go to the game when they play Georgia and Jacksonville. Have a good time. Go, if you travel to a game, just go have fun and hang out and do the whole experience. Like, oh, okay, my team, be happy. I think a good goal if your team's not that good, just you're crushing your fingers, you don't get crushed or get embarrassed. Just have a good time, and it's just have fun. Find other hobbies if it bothers you this much. I'm sorry, but that's right. Why I tell people, like, don't let it get to you, man. Like, go do something. I don't know. It's turned into something odd at the end, but it's like, just have fun. It's college football. Yeah. It's NFL. It's sports. Don't want to get to you too much. Right. Even if you're the guy who wants to spend 10 grand in sideline seats, great. Still, don't want to get to you, man. Just have some fun. Go hang out with some buddies and watch a game.
Right. And folks got it. And you grow into that. It's nothing that you pick up right away.
Hope so, right?
Right. Exactly. You grow into just, hey, it's not that serious, man. It's a game. Maybe kicked our tails. Whatever. We're fans. Keep it that way. We're fans.
All right. I think it's a good way to spot here. So that's our Florida and game etiquette. Not game etiquette, but sports.
Fan etiquette.
There we go. I've seen our fan etiquette game. So
don't tweet at recruits.
Oh, jeez. Never. Never. It's like, yeah, that's all I can say. The most you can do is say, like, congrats. Retweet them. That's fine. Or maybe say, hey, congrats or something. That's about it. That's the most I would ever do. If I don't even do that. But if you do, just say, hey, just congrats. That's about the most you should do, right? At the most.
Either that, and just say, hey, best of luck to you, Matt.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, even whether they choose your school or not, it's like, dang, I'm not going to give examples because people will say, oh, exceptions. No, just watch and see what they do. If they come to your school, great. Retweet their stuff. That's about the most you should do. Do not ever. There's no good reason. It's creepy, first of all. But
that you can just stop right there.
That's
just
it. We're done.
Stop right there.
Yeah, just go watch their highlight films and salivate, I guess. That's all you can do. Just go watch. Oh, look at that spin move. Look at this tackle. Great. All right, so those are Florida CSU previews. So Florida, to recap super quick, offense, mildly optimistic. Mildly optimistic. Yes. Is that okay? Defense,
yes.
Take a step forward because they're young last year. They should improve a bit. So it should be, like, again, don't be surprised if the Rams win this. I'd be a little surprised, but it wouldn't be like App State or, you know what I mean, some FCS team, Georgia right. Southern beating Florida. Sorry to bring it up again, but one of those type of games should happen. No. It's not going to be one of those. If it's an upset, it's like, oh, that's a crap CSU. Maybe they're better than we thought. That's what it'll be. And right. And the other way, Florida, crap. Dan Mullen, give us more time. It's year one. You know what I mean? It'll be one of those things. But Everybody, give Brandon a follow on Twitter. And again, it's Brandon G. Blake for, again, Orlando Magic stuff. You're still a Jacksonville fan, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Duval, baby. Duval.
Oh, not Blake Bortles. Sorry, is he an okay name to say now? Blake Bortles.
Yes.
All right, but I'm sorry. I was just messing with you. I've seen you before. You've been frustrated with Blake Bortles, which I could understand a little bit at times, sometimes. But, oh, did you hear real quick? Who is it on the Jacks who's saying 16-0 again? Isn't there some guy saying that again?
Say that again?
There's somebody saying 16-0 for the Jags again, once again.
Is it?
There were the same guys last
year. I don't remember. I just remember the guy, the Tennessee Titans fan, who put 2017 AFC South champions on
it. No, no, it's a player. Back. Here it is. Malik Jackson saying 16-0.
Oh. Well, you know, real quick, it may come off as braggadocious, but if you know anything about the Jacksonville Jaguars, that's just standard. That's just standard operating procedure with that team. And it's glorious.
And, well, also, Pete Prisco's on CBS is on the bandwagon as well. They have the talent to maybe come close to 16-0.
One.
it's the offseason, right? Go for it. They played New England, what, week six or week two? We'll see. They came close last year. So if you want Jaguar takes, Orlando Magic take, Nevada talk about hoops or football, give Brandon the following, Brandon G. Blake on Twitter. So we're talking Florida this week. And we're probably going to do a couple more of these coming down the pipeline during with a media day coming up and all sorts of other little podcasts, shorter ones. So check us out, MWR.com. Leave a review over at wherever you can buy your free podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and we'll have you on another time, Brandon. So everybody else, we'll see you around soon.